Idaho Matters Now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. If you have been looking for a book that will be tough to put down, the three of us may be just what you're looking for. This debut novel by Oraji Agbarji-Williams has been named one of Lit Hub's and Nylon's most anticipated books of 2023, as well as Elle's best new books for summer and one of Real Simple's must-read books for summer. So, I mean, there's no other reason to not pick it up because you're looking at the perfect summer read. And we are lucky enough to have Ori with us today to talk more about this. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Okay, as I mentioned, this is your first novel, but you are a well-known book editor in the United Kingdom. So why take the leap from editing to writing?
It's all my friend's fault. I sent her something I wrote back in 2017. And she was an editor at the time. She's not an agent, but she was an editor at the time. And she was like, oh, I think this is actually really good. I think you should send this out to agents. And I was like, I don't know about that. But I trust her and I trust her judgment. I think she has good taste. So I said, okay, I'll send it out to some agents. She was like, make sure you message this one agent in particular. And I was like, okay. So I did message that agent and then I signed with her. And then I ditched the idea that I'd actually signed to her with.
Oh.
And then worked on some other things in between that. And then in November of 2020, came up with the idea for this after a conversation with my friend. And then she loved this one. And then we worked on it, did some edits, and then sold it in the UK and here in the US. So it's been an amazing journey. But I'd always sort of loved telling stories, but I never, and I'd written some like short stories here and there, but I didn't think of it as like a career thing. I thought of it as like a, you just enjoy doing this for this kind of thing. And then you know, it's just a sort of side hobby. But what you really want to do is help people tell their own stories. So I think particularly when I found my voice, my writing voice with this idea, then I thought, oh, okay, maybe this is something that I could do a bit more. I could do more often. I didn't think it would happen on this scale at all, but I just thought it was something that I'd enjoy. But my agent and my publishers have really, really believed in me and done such an incredible job. So it's my friend's fault, but it's also their fault in a good way.
So, I mean, what is that like? Here, this is your first novel. And I just, you know, mentioned a number of the accolades the book has already gotten. I mean, is there pressure in that? Or, I mean, is it overwhelming? What's that like?
I've just been through this whole process feeling incredibly grateful because I used to work in publishing. I know how hard it can be to secure any type of coverage for a book. There are thousands, millions of books published every single year. So it's hard to make any kind of space. And for people to not only post about the book, but to have taken the time to read it and to then say that they want to post about it and share it on not even just on bigger publications, but among like book bloggers and things like that and book influencers, I just feel so incredibly grateful for. It's what my friends and I call a madness, but it's a good kind of madness. And I'm just really enjoying it and just being grateful for every moment.
Okay, so let's talk about the book itself. It's called The Three of Us. Give us a brief synopsis.
Okay, so the book asks the question of what would you do if your best friend and your partner, like your two favorite people in the world, hated each other? It's set over the course of one day and is told from all three of their perspectives. First, the wife, the husband, and the best friend. And then I think there's a fourth character, which I call the wine, because they drink a lot of wine. And so all the tension between the best friend and the husband comes to a head in the book. And it's a nice, fun, tension-filled, also, I think, enjoyable, I hope, read.
Well, okay, so you also set this book in one day. So when you were coming up with this idea, was that the thought in the very beginning, is I'm going to write a book and I'm going to have it just happen all in one day?
No. So originally, well, two things originally. One, so I started off when I was writing the book thinking that it would just be the wife I would do. And also I think I'd imagined that maybe it would take place over a course of a couple of days or something like that. And then when I'd been in the wife's head for a bit too long, I was like, I'm kind of bored of her. I need to hear what the other people have to say. And then I was also, then when I'd gotten to the husband and the best friend, I thought to myself, these voices are all very sort of singular and it's almost like a monologue for each of them. And I don't know how I'd feel as a reader returning to those voices again and again over the course of a few days. So I thought to myself, actually, why don't you just leave it as one day? And that also means that the tension can feel very palpable and like something explosive is about to happen as people are reading it. So I thought that would be a much more sort of enjoyable way of doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what's interesting to me too, is when you look at the wife and Temmie, am I saying that right? The best friend.
Yeah.
On paper, they seem very different because their lives are in very different places.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the wife, she's married. They're thinking of trying to have a baby. You know, Temmie's single. She's dating all of these, you know, different men. But what I took from it is they're both very much holding on to their identity, or at least what they have always thought their identity should be.
Mm. Yeah, very much so. And I think the idea in the beginning of their friendship of that shared identity is what brought them together. The idea that mm-hmm. Temmie had this identity and that she made the wife believe that she could also have it. And so that's what bound them together. And so the idea that now that's kind of splitting apart is what is sort of causing a bit of a fracture in the relationship that sort of widened as the marriage between the wife and the husband has gone on.
Well, and I think that we've all over our span of friendships, you know, you have, sometimes you have friends that come into your life, you know, for a short season, right? Some come in for the majority of your life, but there are kind of these moments where life takes you down a different path than maybe a friend. And sometimes I feel like you're desperately trying to hold on to that friendship instead of just kind of allowing it to, you know, to almost take on a life of its own and see where it goes. Does that make yeah. sense? Because I felt that in these two characters.
Mm. Yeah, 100%. And, you know, especially when you believe that a friendship is supposed to go a certain way, it can be hard when things go a different way. And people take that very differently. Temmie doesn't necessarily take it very well.
yeah.
And, yeah. And the wife, you know, she doesn't communicate it as well as she could, or communicate it at all. So yeah, I 100% agree with that idea. Yeah.
And then you tackle marriage. And that is no small feat. but you do it in a way I think that is it's very real. But at the same time, you really add in, I think, some levity and some humor to it. So again, I mean, was that something that you were wanting to create is to give us this sense of in a way, in one day of a marriage that we're looking at, in some sense, it's almost like how mundane it can be sometimes.
Yeah. And also just the funny little sort of incidences and inside jokes that you have in a marriage. And
yeah.
So the mundanity of it, but also the funny side of it, even if it's funny because it's irritating.
right.
I really love that. I really liked exploring that. And I'm not married myself, but I know, like, watching my parents or like my friends who are married or relatives and aunts and uncles, you see the little, and even in like films and TV, the little sort of idiosyncrasies each relationship has. I thought it would be a really interesting window into that, especially from the husband's perspective of what it looks like to be married and what he expects of marriage and how, you know, different things intrude in the marriage and how he deals with them or doesn't deal with them in some cases.
Well, look, I've been married for almost 17 years, and the things that annoyed me about my husband still do, even when we got married. But the things I love about him are still the same, if not more. But with that said, you know, you talk about those inside jokes and you talk about almost like a secret language that you have with your partner. I mean, I saw so much of that. Right. And I think too, getting back to the, you know, what I mean by mundane isn't necessarily like that it's boring, but I mean, it's life. And this is marriage, right? And it is having to wake up every day and just being like, okay, this is my family. This is where I belong. And then also that kind of having to find compromise sometime, which I don't think can be easy sometimes, especially in the beginning of a marriage.
Yeah.
And you tackle that.
Yeah, I think every relationship is complex.
Yeah.
I think particularly marriage, when, you know, you vowed to be, well, not everything, but you vowed to be almost everything to somebody and be there for them in the good times and the bad. But I think people think about being able to handle the extremes of marriage, but not necessarily the in-between moments or the moments that aren't that extreme. And even all those most insignificant things about somebody can irritate you. And those small insignificant things can blow up into a massive thing. Even though the big things, you might be like, oh, I can get over that. Like, it's a thing, but I can get over it. But the big things, sometimes they take up even more space in your mind. So I just think it's really interesting to sort of explore that kind of that aspect of relationships, like the small things that irritate you, like when his wife says, oh, Kim, there's people that are dying, like things like that, that he's like, oh, this is such an annoying thing, but I know why she's doing it and it irritates me, but I'm going to have to learn to get over it.
Well, and I really appreciate that you take that perspective with the husband, right? Because I do think that, you know, women, we have very significant female friendships, right? And so I think we talk about our relationships in a way a lot more than men do. And I always say to my husband, I'm like, look, I know I'm a lot. Like, you married a lot. At the same time, you know exactly what you were getting. So, I mean, you went into this feet first. But I mean, with that said, I really appreciated that you gave a perspective of a husband that I think sometimes we don't necessarily see in novels.
Yeah. And I also, it's funny because on the one hand, I wanted to make him, I wanted his section to be very much him complaining about everything that was going on. but also there's a part of me particularly that loves to complain because sometimes it's just really cathartic. But I also wanted throughout the book for people to change their perspectives of each character as they were reading the different narratives. And I found a lot of people have said that they really enjoyed the husband section and they find him really funny. And I thought that's so interesting because I would have thought the best friend was the funniest, but everyone finds him really funny. So I love that kind of perspective on it and people hearing people's ideas about what he's like. But I actually really enjoyed writing him. I was worried that I didn't want to make him seem like a stereotype or a cliche. I wanted him to feel like a fully fledged person and to feel very real and someone that people could empathize with, even if they would find him irritating, that also they could empathize with him as well. So I'm glad also that you like him as well.
I do. I really, really do. Whereas I find the best friend to be kind of snarky. I mean, which I don't dislike. But I mean, it is that husband and that I was like, oh yeah, this makes sense. So before we go, what is your hope for a reader who picks up this book?
I want them to enjoy it. I want them to enjoy it, but I also want them to come out of it being like, I don't know necessarily who I believe and who I don't believe or who's my ultimate favorite. I would love for the perspectives to kind of throw off who they feel like they can trust or who they feel like is a reliable or unreliable narrator. I would love to see that because that's what I was kind of hoping for. And the thing is, ultimately, I want people to take from a book what they want to take from it. So if they love it, then that's great. If they don't love it, that's also fine. But I want them to enjoy it ultimately. So as long as they enjoy it, that's good by me.
Perfect. That's a great hope. I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Ori Agbaji Williams about her debut novel, The Three of Us. It is out now. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Two men of color vanished after last being seen in the same deputy's patrol car.
I knew something was wrong. Your mother knows.
It's the strangest case, the most unsettling case.
Listen to The Last Ride podcast, part of the NPR Network.